Look last night that we are to serve the Lord and not just live a life. And when I was preparing that message and looking at it and praying about all that, and I got finished with it. And you know how sometimes you say, okay, I'm all done with that one. We put that one aside. And now it's time to do something else now. Do another one. And you look at that. And I couldn't get away from that we are to serve the Lord. And there's different ways that we serve the Lord. And there's different reasons why that we serve the Lord. And doing that message last night, it was like kind of like a guy I used to work for that would give me blueprints and give me an address to a job and say, there, now go do that job, and he wasn't any help. And you can tell someone you need to serve the Lord. You need to serve the Lord and follow Him and then leave it like that. Well, how do I do that? In what ways do I do that? That's what I got to looking at about. That's what I believe the Lord laid on my heart about those things. We don't serve the Lord to go to heaven. Amen. That's not why. The world's got this mixed up. They want the peace that we have. They want the blessings that the Lord gives us. They want the contentment that we have. Therefore, they go through the motions to receive those things and don't understand why they can't obtain them. Because they don't come through the things we do. They come from the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Why do we serve the Lord? Just very quickly, here in this, we serve the Lord because we've been purchased. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 23, the first part of this verse says, ye are bought with a price. That's why we serve the Lord. Ye are bought with a price. Whenever I go to the store and I buy something, whose is that? If I go to the store and I buy a new tool, I bring it to work with me, you know what? I can give that tool away. If I want to, I can take and I can put that tool in the fire and burn it up and not be used at all. It's mine to do with what I want with, right? You may say, well, you're going to tear that up, I'll take it. No, I don't want you to have it, I want to tear it up. That's my right, because it's mine. We have been bought with a price. He goes on here in this verse and says, ye are bought with a price, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Why do we serve the Lord? Because we belong to Him. That's why. He has bought us with a price. There are some things I go to Lowe's or whatever, and I avoid the tool department. I have to. Because otherwise I'll be there for a long time. Just walking through and looking and dreaming. And there are some things in there that I would like to have. They would come in handy for me. But then I look at this thing that's hanging on it, and they're not that handy. Because they're expensive. Look at that price tag, and it's not worth that. It's not worth that. But the Lord looked at me. He saw the price tag. I was still worth it to Him. We were bought with a price, and to Him, price was well worth it for Him to come die on a cross for us. We serve Him because He first loved us. Turn, if you will, into 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to look now at some of the in looking at this, why we serve the Lord, in what ways we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord, number one, because we've been purchased. because He loved us. He bought us with a price. We serve the Lord because we've been called. He's called us. If you've ever, I don't know if you've ever done it, but in reading, especially in Paul's writings and the letters that he writes, the books that he writes, the first sentence of the first chapter, or the first verse of the first chapter, and his writing says a whole lot. There's a whole lot he says in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and it's also a Sosthenes, our brother. Paul writes here and says he's been called to be an apostle. We serve the Lord because we have a calling. You may say, well, I don't have a calling. I beg to differ on that. You do have a calling. The Lord called you to salvation. He has a job for you to do. He has something for you that He wants you to be doing. Not everyone's called into the same thing. At work, we have guys, new guys that come in on the job here, and I ask them, what have you been doing? Some guys don't like doing water lines. Some guys really stink at it. Other guys do really good at doing PVC. So you want to find out what they're good at and put them at it. The Lord already knows what we're going to be good at. The Lord already knows. He's already given us the abilities to do what He's going to call us to do. Sometimes we're like Moses. We don't believe Him. We don't believe we have the abilities. But the Lord says, no, I've given you what you need. We're called. Look in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1. I like this because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 1, Paul says he's called to be an apostle. But in Galatians chapter 1 verse 1, he makes it a little bit more clear. That some people in this world are confused about this. They believe their calling is for men. But Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1 verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. Paul says, I've been called. And I've been called by God, not by man and not for man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. Your calling, you want to serve the Lord? Serve the Lord in the way He has called you. Amen. He's called all of us in different ways. Amen. You know, this pulpit would have to be a whole lot bigger if we were all preachers standing up here behind it preaching. It wouldn't fit. It wouldn't make sense, would it? Wouldn't do it. At the building we're doing at work, I was thinking about that today. had to walk around a little bit today and look in, there's carpenters, there's tinners, there's drywallers, there's electricians, there's plumbers, there's sprinkler fitters, there's pipe fitters. They're all over the place. It's not just one trade building this building, but it's a whole lot of difference. Different trades building this building. Just as here in a service, the Lord has called us a different service. That's what He's done. Look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. We learn a little bit more about Paul's calling, about being called. We're not called by man. It's not that men say, well, you would be really good at this. It's what does the Lord call you to do? Amen. What does the Lord want you to do? Serve Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul says that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It's not by Paul's will that he was called. He wasn't sitting there one day, you know what, I think I ought to be a preacher. A missionary at that. I want to leave everything I've known and go a complete different direction and have people beat me up, you know, and sought to kill me. That's my plan. That's not what Paul did. He was called. You know, I remember when I was lost, the Lord calling me. I remember. And I was running. I thought I was running to Him. But when you look back on it, I was running in my own direction, trying to do it my own way. The Lord finally got my attention and showed me, helped me to see, opened my eyes to the truth of me, what I was. There was no hope in me. It was all in Him. Then years later, here, matter of fact, the Lord called me into the ministry, dealt with me on that. And there again, I thought that I was running to Him. You look back now, I was arguing with Him. I'd seen what my dad went through. I didn't want to go through that. I didn't want to. My point is, when the Lord calls, we need to answer. Don't run. Submit. There is turmoil. There was turmoil in my life when the Lord was calling me to salvation. I wanted to be saved, but on my terms. And then, when the Lord was calling me into the ministry, there was turmoil in my life because I wanted to do it my way. The Lord said, no, you're going to submit to me and do it my way. You know, in both instances, when I submitted to the Lord in salvation and accepted Him, there was peace. And in the ministry, when I submitted to the Lord and accepted His calling for me, there was peace. I mean, we go by the will of God. Our will does not have peace. Our will does not. Your will, I'm sorry to tell you this, your will does not have peace. The Lord's will, the will of God, has peace there. I'm not saying I don't have trouble. I'm not saying you will never have any trouble. There will be trouble. But there can be peace. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to have to hurry up here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. We find a little bit more about what Paul sees in the calling and what our calling is about. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. You know what Paul's telling us here? I was called, but I didn't have a choice. That's what it feels like when the Lord's calling you. He's calling you, but you don't have a choice. You answer or you fight. And then you answer. I mean, I don't know of any other way. I've heard of people saying that they didn't answer the call, and that's why these things happened to me. I've heard people saying that. I don't know of any instances, but I've heard of stories of people saying that. But it's by the commandment of God. Look at it. I like this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He doesn't regret ever accepting the call. It's our hope. Lord Jesus Christ is our hope. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. We see a little bit more here. 2 Timothy 1:1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. We have a promise. We have a promise of life. And it's not in you. It's not in me. It's not in our bank accounts. It's not in our houses, our cars. It's not in our church membership. It's not in any of that. What is our promise of life? It says, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Just a little sidebar. If you've never done a study on the words Christ Jesus versus Jesus Christ, you ought to do it. You ought to do it. It's an amazing little study, you'll see. about why. There's a reason why it's mentioned Christ Jesus instead of Jesus Christ. There's a reason why. I'll just leave it there at that. That was one that I thought about preaching, but I already preached it here, so I didn't want to do it again. You know, not unless the Lord lays on my heart, but anyway, go on. Why do we serve the Lord? Because we're purchased. He loved us. We're His. And we serve the Lord because He's called us. No matter who you are, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you're called. You're called into the ministry. You may, excuse me. You may not be called to be a preacher. You may not be called to be a pastor or missionary, but you are called into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also are something else. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. We see here something else that we are, of a way that we serve the Lord. Philippians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. But he says, Paul and Timotheus, servants of Jesus Christ. Why do we serve the Lord? Because we're His servants. That's what we are. We are His servants. What does that make Him then? That makes Him our master. That's what that makes. Look in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Titus chapter 1. Says Paul, chapter 1, verse 1, says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. We're going to stop there. But he says here, you know, Paul says he's called to be an apostle. Just because he's a servant doesn't change the call. He's a servant. We're all servants to the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't change that we're called into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these does not do away with the other one, is what I'm saying. They're all together, wrapped up, intermingled together. Something else that we are as we serve the Lord. So we serve the Lord because He's purchased us. He bought us. We're His. We belong to Him. We serve the Lord because I think it's great. He purchased us. We belong to Him. And yet, He called. He called us to Him. Look at the love there that He has for us. And then we serve Him because we are His servants. He is our Master. He is. I talked to a guy at work about this next one a little bit. There's a reason why I talked to him. But we serve the Lord. Turn, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know I'm not going to the first book, first chapter, but 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The reason I talked to the guy at work is because he was a soldier at one time. And I just wanted to know, what does it mean to be a soldier? I've never been one. I don't know. And I asked him, what does it mean to be a soldier? He had a whole lot to say about it. I finally had to, we gotta stop. You know? We got stuff to do. But basically, for him, to be a soldier is one that doesn't give up. One that stands, no matter what comes along. One that's strong and sturdy. One that's trained, that knows what they can do, knows their limits. And when times get tough, react without thinking. And you do what you're supposed to do. And looking at that, and as the guy was standing there telling me about what he thinks a soldier is, what he was trained in the army to be, I couldn't help but to think, we're soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means when a battle comes up, we don't run. When a battle comes up, we're willing to be on the front lines. So he was telling me some stories about some guys that he know that wanted to go on the front lines because they were soldiers. That's what we were trained to do. I want to go do what I'm trained to do. We're soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he brought up a neat point. He didn't know why I was asking until afterwards I told him. He brought up a neat point, and he said that, you know, every soldier, you got the Army, you got the Marines, you got the Air Force, and the Navy. You can look at one and know what branch they belong to. The uniforms are all different. I got thinking about that. Our uniforms should be different. Somebody should look at us and know we're a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be able to know by our service. He was in the Army, so of course that's the best one in his eyes. But one thing that I thought was neat, as he was talking about fighting and the things you learn and how to fight, I couldn't help but to think, we're soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. A battle comes up and we stand firm, but we don't fight. The Lord does the fighting for us. The Lord does it. We don't have to fear. We may be on the front lines behind Him. We're not up there they're not fighting us. They're fighting the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His soldiers. But He will never put us in a place that's going to do us spiritual harm. He's not going to. This guy told me a couple stories about, he knows some guys that, well, this guy in particular, he got cancer from the military because they would send him places without protection and knowing there was chemicals there that would harm him. We're a soldier, and our captain in chief is better. I hope that comes out right. But our captain in chief is not going to send us into harm's way without him being there by us. He's not going to. We serve the Lord as a soldier, but that doesn't take away anything from the servant part. We're still servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're soldiers. We stand tall and proud, not of who we are, but of who we belong to. And that's one thing this guy talked about, was he was proud that he was in the Army. He was proud of the Army. We ought to be proud of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be proud to say that we are part of His. We are His. Something else, lastly here, of the way we serve the Lord, something that we don't like to think about, but it's kind of a neat little thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. This is another way we serve the Lord. Paul writes here, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." So, we serve the Lord because He purchased us. We serve the Lord because He's called us into the ministry. We serve the Lord because we're servants. We serve the Lord, as servants. We serve the Lord as soldiers. But we also serve the Lord as prisoners. But you know, unlike what we think about prisoners as, we don't want to get out. We're not prisoners as though we're bound. We're free. We're prisoners that are free. That sounds kind of weird when the world looks at that. They don't understand that. They think we're bound. We think they're crazy. for the things they want to do that they call fun. Look in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul writes here, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Paul says he's a prisoner of the Lord. And we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Not wherewith you've earned, not what you've worked for, but where you've called. We're prisoners of the Lord. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's read verse 7. It says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Be not ye therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now, I do understand when Paul wrote most of his writings here, he was in prison. But we are prisoners of the Lord. We're held. We're not getting out. We're not going away. I mean, you look at this and you see what he's saying here, that we're held in Jesus Christ's hand and God's hand around us. No one's getting us out. We're not leaving. We don't want to go anywhere, but we're held. Lastly, look in Philemon. I would say Philemon chapter 1, verse 1. We'll just go to verse 1. Philemon, verse 1. It says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." We're a prisoner of Jesus Christ, along with others here. But we're also fellow laborers. That's what we are. We labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're purchased. Why do we serve the Lord and how do we serve the Lord? I know I'm not going into great detail here, but we serve the Lord because He purchased us. He purchased us with His life. We serve the Lord because He's called us into His ministry. He's called us to service. So therefore, we serve Him. We serve Him as servants and Him as the Master. Which if you look at that, we don't do what we want to do. We do what He says to do. And we should be happy about it and do it. We serve Him as soldiers. Where He says go, we go. What He says do, we do. We don't question, we do. And we serve Him as prisoners that can't ever get away and don't ever want to get away. We don't want to. And we serve Him as fellow laborers together. Sometimes when we're out in the world, sometimes when I'm at work, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes it feels like I'm alone. You ever feel that way sometimes? You're having a hard day. Things aren't going the way you want them to. Things aren't going the way they need to be going. At least they don't seem that way. Seems like everything's against you. Everywhere you turn, you get yelled at and screamed at and kicked and stomped. And you're asking the Lord to help you. And it seems like He's just telling you no. You ever just feel alone? We serve the Lord with fellow laborers. We're here together. You look around you. Look around the people around you. We're not alone. We have loved ones that serve the Lord there with us. We have neighbors that serve the Lord with us. We have family members that serve the Lord with us. We're not alone. But most of all, most more importantly than that, it's great to see we have fellow laborers here. But what's great to see, we have the Lord Jesus Christ with us at all times. That's the most important thing to remember. But if you're like me, sometimes, maybe it's bad to say, but sometimes it's good to see you, my fellow laborers. I forget that Christ is with me. I forget in my service that He's there. I know He's there. I know He is. But sometimes I forget because I'm feeling alone and I'm concentrating more on that than on my service. We have fellow laborers with the Lord. Why do we serve the Lord? It boils down to this: because He first loved me. That's why we serve the Lord. It's because He loved me and He called me. And He bought me with a price. Lord willing, this will be a blessing to you. Thank you.